You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This is Mario Christian, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I bring you a conversation with my man, Mario Christian. Mario is the co-founder of No Free Coffee, which is a new cafe and coffee brand that's rooted in culture. Mario is an interesting cat. We met, I was doing some work with Atlantic Records, and, you know, I would hear just cool music coming out of his office. He was a video and content producer there. He's now a creative producer at Instagram. But, you know, just seeing him in the halls, we connected over a love of music, of streetwear, sneakers, you know, all that stuff. And one day, you know, I followed him on Instagram and I started seeing images pop up for this thing, No Free Coffee. I didn't know what it was, but, you know, started following that. And it turns out he's building this whole thing. He's got a group of friends that have formed a collective, and they're just out there doing it. I love, you know, his approach, and we get into his learn by doing way of going about it. He tells some great stories about how he immersed himself in filmmaking to learn the business, and, you know, working with people at the top of the game like Tyler Perry, and he's kind of taking the same approach to the coffee business. He's taking what he knows about storytelling and content, and he's going and immersing himself in a whole new world and learning all about it. So some great lessons that we can all use, I'm sure, in whatever our get down is. Let's get into it with Mario Christian. Stillness is a myth to some extent.
Yeah.
Or it's a feeling, you know?
Yeah, but it's not the reality of, like, yeah, what's happening. Stillness is just a metaphor so you can stay sane when shit is getting shaken up.
Oh, that's deep. See, you got deep already in the first minute. I like it, man.
No, my Joe Rogan shit.
Is that right? I like it, man. Well, you know, look, I'm excited to have this conversation with you on the show. You know, I know what's it been, about 3 years since we met, and, you know, through Atlantic APG, and definitely, yeah, like many good creative conversations along the way. And so it's exciting to do it on camera.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I didn't prepare for this, so.
No, that's all the better, man. We just take it as it comes, you know?
For sure. How long have you been doing this?
We're coming up on 5.5 years. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
5.5 years, 200 something episodes. And, you know, it's all, it's like just talking to people who are doing interesting shit.
Yeah.
And try to, you know,
maybe there's some lessons, maybe there's some you know, people get inspired. You never know. Like, just yeah, to me, that's what's interesting is you don't know what's going to come out of it, but there's always something.
For sure. For sure. And how many viewers do you get on this thing? Who am I talking to right now? It's a million people.
Yeah, I don't do this for the audience. No offense to everybody listening, but I do it for me. I do it because I like having these conversations and you know, like, you know, you're somebody that that, you know, I connected with just passing through in the hallways, and whether it was like noticing the shoes or, you know, the music coming out of your office or whatever, you know, you have those experiences where you're like, oh, that's somebody I click with. And now, you know, and now you jumped off into some entrepreneurial stuff that I want to talk about. And I know we share a love of coffee and many things, art and all of that. So it's like, you know, to me, that's why I do this. Whoever wants to listen, listens. You know, we get some pretty good, you know, pretty decent audiences, because I think the stuff we talk about is relevant. And yeah. I get notes from people around the world who discovered the show that I'm surprised.
That's fine. You know.
Yeah, it's funny. Every time, you know, it's been almost 6 years, like I said, every time I meet somebody who's like, oh, I listen to your podcast, I'm like, what? Still, you know, I'm like, oh, somebody actually listens? That's cool.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, I think, you know, I want to hear about what you're doing, but I think that it's the same, you know, if I had to guess, it's the same thing. Like you're doing stuff that interests you and not necessarily because there's a market for it, even though I'm sure there is a market for it, but it's also like creating just to create.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially at this point in my life, I'm realizing that's like the dopest shit that we like as like consumers or just like people that are fans of things, is that the people that are doing tight stuff are like people that are just doing what they want to do or what their passion is about, you know? So I'm passionate about coffee. I was like, wow, that's something like, you know, I could probably do and enjoy doing. And if, you know, we make a bunch of money doing it, that's amazing. But if we just do it and like the company is successful, and that's it, that's also amazing too, you know?
It's like, yeah, I mean, I've heard that, I've heard quotes of people say like, you know, be willing to fail at, it's be willing to do something even if you're going to fail at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, cause you might fail, right? So you might as well enjoy it no matter what. You can't just be so attached to the success of something.
1,000%. 1,000%. I was going to use another quote where people are like, would you die for it? You know, people are like, would you die for that? Like, do you love it that much that you would die for it? I don't think I would die for it, but I would die like still doing it. So sure, maybe, sure, you know, sure. We could tweak it.
Yeah.
Tweak it a little bit for that. But nice. There's a couple of things that I would do and die doing. Like, you know, like coffee is dope. I'm just like, the origin of it started in Africa, and like, even like little fun facts that, like, you know, the Soviet Union, like Hitler and them, were like poisoning themselves slowly because they weren't like extracting the coffee properly. They didn't know coffee science then. So there was much like carbon dioxide still in the coffee from roasting it, and they were consuming it too fast and not like, you know, roasting it properly, that they were actually slowly poisoning themselves. Like,
oh, that's crazy.
It's like crazy shit like that. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And just the swag of it, the storytelling of it, because it's still an art of storytelling. And like, this is why you should drink our coffee, or like, you know, for the same reason why I like Manati's coffee, you know, because they're all championship world baristas, or like for the same reason why, like, you know, any other coffee shop is doing dope shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into all of that. I want to start at the beginning and kind of go through a little bit of your journey, if that's cool. So,
yeah, for sure.
Take me back to the very beginning. Do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself?
1,000%. It was Juvenile G Code, and I got it at the state fair And it was obviously like bootlegged, because there was like bootleg vendors there, and I didn't realize I was so young. I'm a rapper, but I'm still a gorilla. You understand? I'll whip it like a grill of Manila. You understand? Y'all gonna make me have to come get with ya. You understand? I'ma be here for a minute, look what it. You understand? It ain't about to let nobody mess with me. I wasn't supposed to be listening to that album.
Right.
And I was so young that I didn't understand the concept that like this was a fake, like a burnt copy of the real CD. So when I got home and I opened it up, because they still like printed the album work, you know, on the front. So it still had a cover, even though like looking back at it now, it was like very like, it was just like shitty. Like it was like, you know, printed out of a printer. And mm-hmm. the CD was blank. It was like no artwork on the CD. And I was like, damn, it doesn't work. It got me. And I put it in and started playing it. I was like, oh, it does work. Oh, this is tight, you know. But yeah, that was the first one. We come home after school and listen to Juvenile, new videos.
I mean, that's crazy to, you know, that bootleg culture. That's, you know, obviously it's all different now, but yeah, I remember going by bootleg CDs. That was a whole thing.
Yeah. And then when I got older, there were like bootleg stores.
Like, is that right?
You know, yeah. Like Drama and all these, you know, mixtape DJs like were sending their like CDs, like to like surrounding cities, whether it be like Memphis, Nashville, like anywhere in the South, like mm-hmm. that you could find, like, you know, Athlete's Foot or like a Foot Locker, like in the hood or something. And usually next to it, it'd be like a burnt, like a mixtape store, which would be amazing. That's crazy. You could find like, I remember like DJ Burn One was like going crazy at the time. He had so many mixtapes and man, it's a whole like world, like a whole documentary you could do on that.
I'm sure. So, okay. And so your job is production, right? You're creative producer at Instagram. And like I said, when we met, you were doing, I know you've worked for Fader, for Complex, making content. So how'd you get started with the camera?
I was in college, the University of Memphis. I kind of started a clothing line that was like, you know, it was based on pictures that I would take of graffiti around the city, and then I would just put it on like a hoodie or like put it on a t-shirt. It's called Black and White by Mario Christian.
Okay.
Because all the photos were black and white.
Okay.
And then, you know, at like, you know, in doing it, I was like, damn, like if I want this to be good, like the photos have to be, you know, great. So I was like, wow, I got to get into photography. And my granddad like is a photographer and an architect. So he would always like, you know, just talk to me about it or send me a camera or something like that, you know. So I started talking to him about it more and just kind of YouTube and shit. From there, I got into like, wow, like you can get into like directing videos with this camera, like in videos and stuff, you know, just getting mm-hmm. into that world. And that's when I started watching just like, you know, that's not when I started watching, but in my dorm, I would see like, you know, MTV Jams. And at the time, like Currency and like Big Crit, Big Sean, and all these like J. Cole, all these rappers were starting to bubble, Wale included. Like they were all starting to just make content. And, you know, people like Motion Family and people like Cootie and Chike from Creative Control were starting to use like 5Ds to make these videos that you didn't need like $20,000 or like $30,000 budgets to do. so that was like just like that whole wave of like, wow, like everyone has a video. Like videos are going crazy again. And YouTube obviously was like, you know, a place that you could grow as an artist in like fast. So in doing that, I was like, okay, I'm in my dorm. I'm watching these videos. I'm like, well, who's directing these? I'm starting to see the same names over and over and over. Motion Family, Decatur Den, Creative Control, all these people. And then one day I'm just like, wow, I should just like hit them and be like, yo, you know, can I come intern or something? Like, you know, so I find all of their contacts. I hit them all. No one hits me back, but Motion Family, like they just pick up the phone. They're the only person that had their phone number there. I like call the number.
Okay.
I'm like, yo, like Dave picks up. He's like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, my name is Mario. I'm a student at the University of Memphis. I'm going to come to Atlanta this summer. Can I like intern over the summer while you guys are working on videos? Like, can I, you know, just whatever. He was like, yeah, for sure. Just hit me when you get here. Like super chill. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, so I get there.
And someone's like, too easy.
Yo, it's too easy. So I get there. And obviously at this time I'm catching them, like they're young, they're doing big videos, but they're like young, they're like 26, 27, okay, maybe 28 at the oldest. So they're like, naive enough to pick up the phone and say, hey, come on. Mm-hmm. So I get there, and, you know, they just kind of put me to work. I started working. My first video was this video, Lecrae featuring No Malice. And he was No Malice. I fall on my knees when I rise, begging for my breath, open up my eyes. When I leave my home, if I meet my demise, even the darkest day will see the sunrise. I fall on my knees when I rise. That's my first time having seen him, like, being like a gospel rapper. Mm. I was like, oh shit, like, he's a gospel rapper now. This is crazy. But I was just like, still, you know, obviously in odd, it was like Malice from Eclipse. So that was really dope. And the video was like very running gun. We're shooting on 5Ds. They had like, I mean, I'm sure they, looking back, I'm sure they had like some of the budget because we were like in a really dope location. And we stayed on set like 5 a.m. And I remember like other PAs like having to leave because they had to like go to work. I had to go to work the next day too. I was working at Papa Do's at the same time.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm going to stay. They were like, you sure? Like, you got to be at work in like 2 hours. I was like, nah, like, I really want to be here. And I remember when I got there and I met all the directors, and I was just like, yo, it's a privilege. I mean, like, and they were just like, oh, for real? Like, yeah, I like that. I like that. So I just hung around, man. And then eventually they, you know, would call me back for more videos and stuff. And I would just like skip work to go work on videos. And they started paying me. And then I was like, man, I just want to be around. Mm-hmm. So after the shoot, they would always go to this bar, like the Albert. It was called the Albert. It was like basically like where everyone knows your name. So I was just like, yo, I'm gonna come to the Albert. And I would just hang around and just like not say nothing. Cause I was like, yo, if I don't say anything stupid, like they'll just let me hang around. I just wanted to be there, you know, and just soak That's up funny. Everything. So sometimes I would just stay, just come over and just watch them edit. Like, you know, I'm watching like my boy Dave, like just edit for hours, like going crazy on videos. I'm like, man, this is dope. Like, I want to do this. And that's kind of where it started.
That's cool. It's funny you say that. Like, you know, I think there's a, that's definitely how I grew up, is like, you know, sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut, stay out of trouble, or don't, you know, if you don't know, you know, if you don't know the scene and the people,
yeah,
you know, you err on the side of not saying anything. And that seems to be lost in today's society, right? With social media, you know, Clubhouse, which I want to talk about, but like, you know, everybody has a microphone and feels entitled to use it.
Yeah. And I think, I think you hit it right on the head with like just social media, and especially young kids, like because of that era that you could like, you know, just get like easily access cameras, then like those kids like that once had to like, you know, rely on like OGs or like people who did it before them, mm-hmm, kind of, you know, just, it's like, you know, they even created a whole style of editing that's like the kids like fuck with now. And it's like,
is that right?
Rock stars in their own sense. Yeah. You know, it's just like that fast, like, you know, mm-hmm, real lots of like masking, like, you know, we go into the cup and then we go out of the cup and then, mm-hmm, now we're in your, mm-hmm, eye. And like, you know what I mean? Like, and those kids that like created that, like, they don't feel the need to, you know, have to like work under someone or like, you know, soak, sure, up game from like people that came before them. So yeah, it's just different now.
Yeah. I mean, what do you bring to these young creatives? Obviously you have this experience, even though you're still a young guy, but you also have that. I mean, that's a little bit of old school approach, right? That you went and kind of apprenticed and interned for the guys before you and learned, you know, you paid your dues and you learned on the job, right? And yeah. So, you know, I'm wondering kind of what do you bring to the young cats that are coming up in the game today? Kind of balance how the new way they do things with how you came up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely like, you know, like when I was a PA, I like wanted to know what everyone did on set. You know what I mean? So I think just, and I did it too. I'd be like, oh, let me help you out with it. Mm-hmm. Or I'll do that. I'll grab that. What's this call? You know what I mean? So like if I'm in like a situation where I need to direct something, or like even at work, if I'm like, all right, we should do it like this because, you know, I don't know how much time and energy the graphic designer is going to put into this. And this is probably going to be his response if we say, you know, we want you to do this and this and that, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like just the quality control in the sense of like, knowing everyone's position in production and being able to like assist them in a sense, mm-hmm. and be like, have some type of, have like a lot of empathy to like what they're doing. For example, like, whether we're working with, a production company and they're trying to overcharge us or like pad the budget, or, you know what I mean? So it's like, hey, like, I know you don't need two producers on a Zoom shoot we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, we're all at home, bro. Like, I get it. Like, you know, you're trying to make money. That's, you know, the ins and outs of production is crazy.
Sure.
And, you know, in the real world, that would have flown. But, like, you know, so just almost like just being that, you know, just been that fly on the wall to be able to kind of help, you know,
So was there a moment then when you realized or decided that this was going to be your career?
Production?
Yeah.
Yes. When I was working at a grocery store in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had a really cool boss, and he would let me like go and like PA and stuff. And then the last job, you know, like I went to him one time, I was like, yo, I would have got this cool opportunity to intern, or no, I'm sorry, to interview at Tyler Perry. And he was like, oh, that's incredible. Like, you should go do that. And I knew when I got that job and I was working, I was like, wow, I can't like go back to like working at a grocery store. No offense to like people that do that. Like, if I got to do that, I'll go do that for sure. Sure. But just in a sense where like, this is my new career path, and every job after this, I want to work in production, you know? And that was like kind of the turning point.
What'd you learn? Obviously, Tyler is a master of what he does.
For sure.
What'd you learn from that experience?
Oh man, I learned how like real production worked. Like how, you know, you can say what you want about Tyler Perry's work, like that it's the same, or he has like a formula, which are all like keys to success. Like, you know what I mean? And obviously he's successful, but I just learned like, you know, like the time and energy, it just goes into production. Like, we'd be on set for 14 hours sometimes. And it was like, yo, like they'll spend so much time setting up the lights. And then from that, I was like, oh yeah, you should spend a lot of time setting up the lights. That's how you get the best picture in what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So just really like quality, like how to like, you know, set up things and like take things to that next level in terms of quality. I also learned that the shit like costs money. Like, you need money to do what you want to do and how you want to do it, you know? And just also that there's no rules, like, cause what he's doing is no rules. We'll be working on delivering, you know, delivering scripts to actors around, like, you know, Atlanta. Like, we're driving scripts around the city to different actors before they get to set or even after set. And then the next day he just like cut half the page and he's like, all right, we're only gonna do these 10 pages. And he made some out of that, you know, just kind of pivoting on the spot. Mm-hmm. So there's no rules to any of this, you know.
That's big. So you know, thinking of that, and now that you have your own style, do you have a formula
in terms of like photography and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. I learned from this guy named Diwong Valdez, who's like a director photographer, and he's part of Motion Family. And when I say like they taught me everything, like they legit taught me like, you're not supposed to do that. You should do it like this. They went to art school and they were fresh out of it. Like, they went to SCAD. So mm-hmm. they were just teaching me, passing down things that they just learned in art school, which was like the proper way of doing things.
Yeah.
So in terms of like photography, I just approach everything like, from a classic standpoint, like, will this look dope like 10 years from now? Or like, you know, storytelling within the photos, like I learned that from Diwong. And he, you know, in turn learned that from like Jonathan Mann, who was like one of his idols. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like, just now I'm like, oh damn, well, let me study Jonathan Mann. Like, how, why does his work stand out so dope, like so much? And why is he so dope? And it was just like, you know, finding the true moments within artists and, you know, capturing that. So, I mean, I think it's just, yeah, it's just that classic nostalgic kind of a feel and approach. Obviously, I wish I was around to have photographed DMX in a pool of blood. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, sure. Has there been a favorite shoot over the years? Is there, you know, stuff you look back on that you know, you're happiest with?
My work or like just having
yeah, a car
or something? I got to shoot Meek Mill like in 2017 or something like that. And, it was his press photos and it was right before he went to jail. And I think he knew he was going to jail and like, no one knew. I think he knew it. Mm. Cause his energy was just like amazing. Like, it was just on high. And, you know, he was just super great to be around. The photos came out great. It was like one of my first like really like major shoots where like, you know, I had like a, you know, a light tech, like someone actually just focused on the lighting. And I was like, yo, I want it like this. We want to do it like this. And he came in and he was like, yo, I chose you, Mario Christian. Like, he was like, yo, I chose you to do this. And I was like, nice. Damn, that's dope. That's really cool.
So what does that do for you when you hear that, or when you hear that, or when it comes out and your name's all over it? Like, what does that do internally and externally?
I mean, internally, it's like, you know, just this confidence. Like, man, like, yeah, like I'm doing the right thing. He likes it. It's different. You know, he thought it was different enough that he wanted to go with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just trust. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I can now trust the work, and trust that the work I'm doing is quality, you know?
If you're enjoying this one, Mario is not our first food entrepreneur who's heavily influenced by hip hop. Early on, we had Roy Choi, the founder of the Kogi truck, man who changed the food world forever, brought food trucks into every corner of the world. He had a great stories to share about how he was building that brand. He came on with my man, Adam Weissman, who is a designer at Stussy, now has the brand Real Bad Man. If you're into obscure streetwear brands, check out Real Bad Man. He's doing really cool things with that. But anyway, go back into Rebel Radio archives, check out Roy Choi and Adam Weissman from, I think, our first year on the air. So you talk about the kind of timelessness, right? And there's like, you know, there's album covers or those photos that, you know, become part of our culture. We remember them forever. Same with music videos, I think. And so now you work in a medium that's very momentary. Right. We're constantly, yeah. I mean, we all do, right. We're constantly scrolling, swiping, you know, if so, you know, things are measured by their immediate impact, not necessarily by their lasting impression. And so I wonder, how do you balance those things? Or how do you think about the art that you create in the context of these new channels?
So, I mean, everything has like a look and feel, right? Everything has like a voice. The particular work I'm doing now with like working with creators and influencers and stuff like that, and helping scale education to that audience. It's just like, you know, like I'm tapped into my phone just like everyone else. So, I mean, you know, I just dive into that world, like into just in terms of that, of that look and feel, but also trying to make it feel, you know, transparent. Like we're not, for example, like just in the work we're doing, just making sure it's not like, you know, there's still something real about it versus like, you know, it being so so buttoned up for the type of stuff that we're doing, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it does. And it's also funny, though, that, like, you know, when you were making music videos, there was no worry about, like, is this image that we're portraying, is it real? You know, is this the way the artist is actually living on a daily basis, right? And I think, you know, we've come to understand that the cars are rented, the mansions are rented, the models are rented, you know, but we're making a film, right? Yeah. You know, like that maybe took a minute, I think, especially for hip hop to come to terms with. But these are movies, right? They're 3-4 minute films. Yeah. That are meant to entertain and tell a story, and they're not supposed to be documentaries. And then now we've forgotten that again, you know, on these social channels that there's sets and, you know, hair and makeup and models and all of that. Right. And,
for sure.
And we, you know, I think we keep wanting with each new medium, like we keep wanting it to be real life, but it isn't. And I'm not even really sure that it's supposed to be.
yeah.
but we, you know, our society culture has a tough time with that sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's part of like why you like something. Like, I didn't realize music videos were just movies until, like, you know, I was old enough and I was like, oh, I was like, why, how are they getting it to rain on the day they want to shoot every time? It's right. Special video.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I get to sit and like wet the ground down, wet it down. I'm like, oh, it's just wetting the ground. Cause they want that look. I was like, wow. Okay. Got it. Check. But yeah. No, it's a funny thing. It's a crazy thing, but now more than ever, like, people can look into the world of like artists. They'll show you the set. They'll show you that they're on green screen. And it's not real, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone kind of, people know about Photoshop now. Everyone's like, oh, that's Photoshopped, or like, you know, that's da da da. So it's like, man, that barrier of like everyone kind of knowing like it's real, like even people like consumers and like fans knowing about their favorite rapper's contract, like that was never.
Sure. Do you think it hurts the storytelling?
Yeah, I think it does a little bit, but then also I think it makes the experience like even more in depth for someone that they can like go on. Like, you know, there's been like pieces of content where I was like, yo, we're going to show you the whole 24 hours of the video today, or the whole 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And you get to see it, and it's kind of cool. I mean, you know, like that almost started with like world premiere, like on BET, where they would show you the behind the scenes of the video.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's how you did that? Pretty cool. So I don't think it hurts the storytelling. I think it's, if anything, I think it actually brings in like the audience a little closer to what's going on. Kind of even letting them in on the joke. I remember even like watching, me and my wife were just watching the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah, we're about to watch it tomorrow.
Okay, I won't spoil it for you then. But I'll say this, there was a part about all of the times that they broke the fourth wall in the show.
Yeah.
And how they felt like that made the audience part of the joke and not for like, sure. You know. So, you know, I think it's something to that.
I definitely think it is. And I think, you know, while you're talking, I'm thinking about like the Will Ferrell movies and all those where they have at the end after the credits, they have some bloopers or some, you know, stunts they tried and didn't work or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And, I think that makes you like it more actually. And then, you know, cut to, you know, what we're talking about in social media, people trying to maybe pretend like their made up story is real or is unedited or enhanced. And I think, you know, that isn't, it's like I say, those are like all mind games that we play with ourselves and each other. And it's probably not even necessary.
1,000%.
Funny. So let's talk about coffee. So I know you got this startup, venture, No Free Coffee. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I remember, you know, I follow you on Instagram, and one day I start seeing these posts, you know, a little bit mysterious, but like, you know, either celebrities or just interesting people with a cup of coffee. And then, you know, little by little, I kind of start seeing the story come together, not necessarily knowing what it is, but, and then I know you guys just launched, last month. So tell me about, what is No Free Coffee? Where'd the idea come from? What's it all about?
Yeah, for sure. It's like the name in itself is just like, you know, valuing someone's time and like just energy. Like, you know, you'll often like someone be like, yo, can I take you out for coffee and like pick your brain? And you're just like, you know, like I'll pay for my coffee. Like, you know what I mean? Cause you know, there's this book.
Funny.
My boy was reading this book and he was like, you never let someone pay for your meal or your coffee or something. Like, it was like the art of war or something. And it was just like, once they do that, then now you owe them something. Now you owe them like an answer to that, you know, or helping them out with this or whatever it is. But it's just like, you know, often, you know, people charge you the time and do it within the context of like, hey, let's go grab a coffee. So that's kind of where the name came from. Also, you could kind of make it what you want it to be. as well, but just inspired from, like, you know, going to Japan. Me and my wife had went a couple of times, and we would go to, like, you know, just go there and just, you know, first of all, the coffee shops there are really dope because they're just, they're tight. But it was just like this idea of, like, going somewhere no one knows you and starting a coffee shop and starting open life and just, like, leaving behind music business stuff, leaving behind, like, you know, filming artists and just being regular. Like, not that we're not regular people, but, like, just doing something that, like, is an everyday job, you know what I mean? And then I was, like, just getting into that more and more and just getting into coffee more and more. I was like, damn, this would really be dope to just do it now. You know what I mean? And just do it, like, in a pop-up form. So we actually started working on this idea, like, a year and a half ago. And we were going to do a pop-up towards the end of last year. And then COVID happened. And we were like, oh, probably shouldn't do anything right now. So, you know, just get kind of the time to work on the idea a little more, develop it a little more. And then also start storytelling through, like, you know, like, why is this going to be dope? Why should you have coffee here? Which is, like, I think the biggest part of any coffee shop is, like, why? Why did you start a coffee shop? What does this mean to you?
Sure.
And, you know, because there's a bunch of dope, like, really minimalistic shops that, like, you know, have okay coffee, but then, like, you don't know where did it come from? Like, you know what I mean? It's not really, like, you know, something that, like, drags you in or like, keeps you there. So what I wanted to do was just bring people that were just like-minded together, like, whether it be, like, you know, graphic designers, editors, photographers, people that rap, people that sing, clothing line owners, fashionistas, or whatever, and just bring them all into one space under, like, coffee and just, like, yo, here you go. Like, you know, let's just all, like, link. I remember going to Union one time for an event and just seeing all my favorite people there, and everyone was there. It was like Anwar, it was like my boy, a space to just congregate all the time. And that's kind of where the idea came from.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think coffee is it's become a, you know, it's a tool for a community,
right? Yeah.
For bringing people together.
Yeah.
You know, I think in it's not really about the liquid, although liquid's important, but
of course,
but there's so much more to it than that. So tell me a little bit about the plan. Like, I saw it, you know, like I said, I kind of saw it first on Instagram. I know you've been hosting chats on Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I know I saw you guys have an Apple Music playlist.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like to build this brand, you know, the next year or two? What are you envisioning how that happens?
For sure. Well, we have an amazing partner, Counterculture Coffee, who, you know, sources the beans, roasts the beans, gets them to us, you know, anything we're looking for, whether it be single origin, like they can provide, and they have just quality stuff. So it's definitely still kind of like building that relationship with them, while continuously doing pop-ups. And they've been so gracious to allow us to, you know, use their space for the time being, you know, just to build a buzz and, you know, just kind of hone in on what the brand is and what it means. But, you know, so definitely continue to doing pop-ups, hopefully, like, just depending on what's happening in the world with what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And, you know, also just, like, dropping, like, fire, like, merch too, because it's like, you know, I always wanted to, like, have, like, a brand where I was like, yo, this is, like, you know, this is my, you know, palace. This is me. This is my brand, whatever. But now it's just like, wow, like, I've never seen, like, a dope, like, coffee shop have, like, a, I don't want to call it, like, a streetwear brand, but, like, you know, in a sense, like, that's what we're trying to do. Like, we're saying, like, yo, this is a fire hoodie, whether you like coffee or not, or, like, you know,
sure,
whether this is a coffee company or not, like, you would wear this. So building the merch up and really just like honing in on that, but then also just finding interesting ways to connect other communities at our pop-ups too. Like, the first one we had comedians, and it was just like, you know, like, I love comedians. Like, I wish I could do, you know, stand up like Jerry or like, you know, Chappelle. And, you know, to kind of just like build that community with like people who are actually doing that. Cause I respect it so much too. It's like a really like, you know, noble craft, like to be a comedian and like start from the ground up and like, you know, get your shit together that way is just really dope. So working on that, and just continuously like, you know, experimenting with coffee, like, you know what I mean, just trying to like break out of like unconventional ways of enjoying it. Like, you know, we started doing like cold brew sodas, which is like really interesting. You should pop by the crib, or I could bring you one whenever we could link up and just try it. But then I've been doing that at the last two pop-ups, and people love it. Like, it's everyone's favorite drink. People aren't even asking for pullovers. They're just like, yo, let me get that. I'm like,
nice,
cool. Like, you know, I wasn't gonna make any hot beverages at the last two pop-ups, which is crazy.
Wow.
But you know, I just think it's interesting to just kind of experiment with it, going back to like there's no rules in any of this. So
how do you know how to make content, you're an expert at that. Now you're going into something where there's a lot that you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And so how do you balance, you know, I've struggled with this. I know lots of friends that, you know, you step outside your comfort zone and it's like all of a sudden, you know, like I said, there's no rules, which in some ways is great. And in some ways it's like, well, you know, I'm always like, I don't want to go learn something the hard way that somebody else has already figured out. And I'm going to go, you know, step in the same pothole that somebody else has already learned to sidestep. Right.
For sure.
So how have you thought about that, about the pieces that you don't know and where you don't have expertise?
Absolutely. So the same way I went into film is kind of like a similar way I'm going about doing this. Just so happens that I'm just building the brand simultaneously. So like the brand is taking off a little more than like, I guess like, you know, our mind has grown, like in terms of like the education for coffee.
Sure.
But you know, I'm definitely like in training to like become an actual barista. I know enough to what we're serving, which is kind of like, you know, if you follow the story long enough, you may follow us to where we're serving new lattes, you know, and doing latte art. And you'll be like, damn, I remember when they only did pourovers on like cold brew soda. So it's just kind of like, we're just telling the story like right in front of you, like honestly, yeah. And like showing you like, oh, like this week we're doing this, you know? But you know, it's also like just tapping into the community of coffee. Like when I started learning about like who was who, I started touching those people and going into like which we were talking about with the clubhouse shit. Like we started like a weekly kind of a show where it was just like, tell us how you started a coffee shop. And we like, you know, interview someone that's done it before us.
Oh, cool.
And that can like tell us like, you know, wow, we, you know, that's a good question. You're going to have to deal with contractors if you want a brick and mortar, and you may have to go through four different contractors. And you may spend like $30,000 on some shit, and then you may tear it down because they did it wrong, or like the plan didn't go properly, or you didn't get the permit that you needed for something. So it's like, you know, hearing these stories, like we're legit learning just like the audience is about like how to, you know, go about the route of doing it. And it's very transparent. Like we're like, yo, show us how to do it. We want to do it too. But you know, connecting with those shops and like uplifting like those shops is just like, that's what our brand is about. It's like, you know, I love No Free Coffee. Like, I think we made great pourovers and great cold brew soda. Community of shops and like different coffee professionals in the community that are doing like dope shit and like telling their stories too is like what it's kind of all about. Because at the end of the day, it's just about good taste. Like, you know, we want to show you what our taste is. Like, this is what we like, and this is why we like it. So that's why, you know, you may see like coffee on the page, but you may also see like a dope, like just minimalistic living room somewhere in Japan that some like dope architect did, you know? So I think it's all like just hand in hand. Same with natural wines.
Okay. Love it. Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, you know, you said something really interesting that, you know, people are willing to share their knowledge. Right. And I think, you know, it's tempting to kind of think about, you know, well, these are competitors or I'm a competitor to them. Why are they going to tell me their secrets?
Yeah.
And, you know, but you showed it, you know, you did that in film, in music video, right? You know, you were essentially, you know, becoming a competitor to those guys.
Yeah. But
they helped you. Right. And that's been my experience, you know, my whole career is that, you know, if you approach people honestly and you know, like most people are not afraid of competition in that way.
Yeah.
Right. They're willing. I think most people want to pass on their knowledge. And especially if you do something that you're passionate about, right? Like, you don't really care
right.
if somebody else is doing it. You just want to do you. And to me, that's always a big part of you know, success is just being willing to ask questions.
1,000%. And it's just like, you know, you can't have all the coffee drinkers in the world come to your sure. shop. Like, people are going to go to other shops, and you know, I don't go to the same place every day. You will have your core audience. Everyone, but you know, everyone has their core community, and that's right. the beauty in it. That, like, you know, we already have a community here in LA that we built, like, just through professional relationships or mm-hmm. personal ones, and those are the people that are going to come and drink coffee with us. You know, and they may or may not tell their friends to expand it. So we just hope for the best. But you know, no competition. We're not beefing with coffee shops.
Not yet. Is there like a big vision for where you're trying to take this, or do you know what that is yet?
Yeah, no, I think eventually we want to, like, you know, do pop-ups like all over the nation, eventually like all over the world, and just collab with brands, like mm-hmm. not even necessarily like other coffee brands, but like other just like, you know, lifestyle brands and other, whether it be like community leaders or projects that we can, like, you know, be there to provide coffee or just be that, just like bring the energy that we bring to like certain places, you know? And ultimately, like, you know, I think if we keep doing what we're doing, people would, you know, entertain like, yo, why don't you guys get a brick and mortar? Mm-hmm. I think we're just taking it one day at a time and just kind of figuring out the pieces to the puzzle. But I think this could be really big. I think, you know, there's opportunity to, you know, have even like a podcast portion of it where, like, you know, we're interviewing coffee professionals
sure.
and, you know, throwing that up online and just creating content, but really just almost just, you know, just keep doing what we're doing. Continue to tell a story.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love, you know, the way that, like you said, it's about the story and it's about the lifestyle. And, you know, I don't need to see, not to shit on anybody's approach, right? But, you know, seeing after a while, you've seen enough fields and beans and like, you know, I think that's, you know, it's true in everything, right? That most creators, they want to talk about the quality of their product mm-hmm. and because they're proud of it and they believe in it and they've invested, you know, time and money and heart and sweat into making the product that they're proud of. And that's cool. But at the same time, like, we don't necessarily care. We definitely don't care as much as they do. Right. Right. And so if all you show me is where you got your beans from or, you know, or whatever the, you know, how fast your processor is in your phone, right? Like, we don't really care. We care about, you know, what does this do for me and does it fit my lifestyle and can, you know, can I see myself engaging with this brand?
1,000%. There's a really dope shop named Sachi in Culver City and it's a Japanese mom and daughter and they sell plants. Mm. Like, they sell plants in their coffee shop where you could buy plants. Like, they have plants everywhere.
Dope.
And then they sell records, like old records. They do that really well. And then the mom does like soba noodles Thursday through Sunday, which is like super interesting. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. Oh, and they sell denim. Like, they have denim, like, which is really good denim that you can buy and like dope, like t-shirts and stuff. And it's just like, you know, that's their story. Like, they just do what they do and it's tight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I think you buy into the people, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost. And then you like what they make.
Absolutely.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm excited. You know, like I said, I was excited to see it come to life and I know you've been working on it for a while and I know it's going to continue to evolve and be something great.
I appreciate that, man. Thank
you. I want to get to a lightning round before I, let you get on with your life.
For sure.
So
the lightning rounds, I'm assuming these are questions that should be answered really fast.
You could, you know, we'll just cut out the blank spots. You can take your time.
Gotcha.
But it's just whatever comes to mind. I'm not sure why we call it a lightning round. Okay, what's your favorite city to travel to?
Japan.
Who's Tokyo. Your favorite? Tokyo? Yeah. I love it there. Have you traveled outside of Tokyo in Japan?
I haven't. And my wife hates that.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's like, let's go to Kyoto. Let's go to... She wants to go to different places.
Yeah. We went to Kyoto once for a couple of days. It was amazing. I've been dying to go, you know, around the country. Osaka, mm-hmm. I've heard amazing things.
Yeah.
I think there's much more to it. But, you know, Tokyo is such an incredible place that you just want to keep going back.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite DJ?
I don't know. DJ Genesis in Atlanta.
Okay. What's the last great book you read?
Oh, The Way of the Superior Man.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Oh, you read that?
Yeah. I got that on the shelf right here. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
It's like one of those you got to read every year.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. what movie have you seen the most in your life?
Friday.
Okay. That's fun. That's not one of those waste of time movies.
No, it's, you know, it's something that comes on every, as a kid, you're like, let's watch Friday. Let's watch it again. Nice. Let's watch it again.
Who's somebody that you haven't met that you've learned the most from?
That I haven't met that I've learned the most from. Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got me tapped in.
Is that right?
Yeah, tapped into some other shit.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, last one. If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
This is gonna be fire.
That's good, man. That's good energy.
Yeah.
You know.
No matter what.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, dude, thank you for doing this, man. I'm excited.
Thanks for having me, man.
See what comes next.
I appreciate it. This is dope.
Well, everybody listening should follow No Free Coffee. Definitely on Instagram. You. I don't know where else is the best place to stay
That's
up
good.
with openings and all that.
Yeah, No Free Coffee on the IG.
Okay.
It's where all the updates are happening. There's a Twitter, but you don't want to follow that. It gets a little crazy.
Is that right?
No, I'm just joking.
That's cool, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you. We'll be watching for what's next. And we'll definitely get some coffee soon.
Yes, let's do that. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Mario Christian. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Make sure you follow No Free Coffee. Go down to one of the pop-ups. Get you some coffee. Get you some merch. They're doing a really cool thing, and I'm sure you're going to want to be part of it. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter at Rebel Radio Net. Facebook, same thing. We have videos of a lot of our episodes on our YouTube channel at Rebel Radio Net. And come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.